anything spectacular. They've played their game plan. They've played all year. They have been one of the least physical teams in the Big East all season, and players openly admitted that. And they just, you know, it was fitting that Muhammad Ali was there sporting the Louisville red and black, because they just hit him. They just hit Florida and just kept going and kept going. And once Florida threw that interception return for a touchdown to start the game, they're totally out of it. I think that their game plan was, we're going to come out, we're going to throw the ball, and have Louisville, you know, kind of on its heels, not expecting us to be a throwing team. They wanted to show what they'd do more next year. And once that plan failed on the first play, you know, Florida just went into a shell. And I think that they were shell-shocked from that moment, and it just boosted Louisville.
What was the higher number, the number of oysters you ate in your time in New Orleans, or the number of Florida fans in attendance of the game last night?
Well, I actually did not eat any oysters.
What?
Oh.
I know.
Have you left yet?
I was not here for very long, so I didn't.
When
I
are you leaving?
Oysters when I got in.
Are you in the airport
now? I'm leaving
now?
In a couple of hours. I have more work to do.
Are you at the airport still, or are you, like, at work?
No, I'm still sitting in my hotel room.
Okay, bro, you got to go buy Drago's for lunch before you head to the airport and get yourself some char-grilled oysters. You're doing yourself a total disservice.
That's what I was thinking of doing. I just don't know if I'm going to have enough time. I just don't know. I know. It's a Cardinals sin.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
After a long night in New Orleans, which, if you're still laying in your hotel room, you know.
Oh, hey, Edward was up late blogging, writing, and stuff.
Yeah, blogging.
Posting videos.
Is that what you call it? No, Edward blogging?
At 5 in the morning.
You what?
I was sending video at 5 in the morning.
You stayed up until 5 in the morning working?
I did.
Jeez.
And I still didn't get everything done for today.
Buddy, I don't know what ESPN's paying you, but it ain't enough. You're an incredible talent. You're making the rest of us look bad.
They put you up in a nice hotel?
Oh, it's really nice. They do a pretty good job here at the Sugar Bowl.
Where do you stay?
Taking care of everybody.
It's the media hotel?
Marriott Convention Center.
Okay.
How many days were you out there?
I flew in on the 1st.
Okay.
So.
Well, there's no excuse for you not having oysters yet. But anyway, let's move on to football. So what's Teddy Bridgewater, certainly not an SEC quarterback. How much have you seen him play before last night? Because for me, I hadn't seen him play hardly at all. That kid is pretty impressive. Mm. Edward?
Hey.
You there?
Yes, Henry?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've seen a little bit of him. You know, I kind of covered him when he was in high school because he was interested in Florida. And the funny thing is, you know, Urban Meyer wanted him as a wide receiver, and I got to talk to Charlie Strong before he got on the bus, and he and I are over there with his family, and I said, you know, Teddy can play. He's like, he's a special one, isn't he? And I said, Urban wanted him as a wide receiver, and he looked at me and smiled, and he said, oh, yeah. And I said, Denard Robinson, too, and he smiled, and he said, oh, yeah. And it's just funny to see those two quarterbacks who have had so much success. I mean, Denard obviously kind of fell off this season, but, you know, for Urban to want both of them as wide receivers. But, the thing that stuck out to me about Teddy Bridgewater was how calm he was in the pocket. I mean, he can run. He's like Taj Boyd. He can run, but mm-hmm. he'd rather throw.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing Taj Boyd in person the other night for the first time, I mean, he's somebody who can take a hit. He can stand in the pocket and deliver passes. I mean, he has great awareness in the pocket. And Teddy Bridgewater looked just like him. I mean, he's a guy who's going to be pretty good in the NFL. If he stays the way he is, and you know, battle through an ankle injury and a wrist injury, to take that hit on the second play when Louisville had the ball, that's pretty good. I think he caught Florida off guard. I don't think that they thought he would play like he did.
I saw that you posted a story about Charlie Strong being happy that he stayed at Louisville, and I think we all understand his level of commitment because we know a lot of people probably have talked to him and tried to come after him, but... you know, talk to me about that a little bit. What kind of conversations did you have with him about that, and what you think the chances are of him being there for a long period of time?
Well, I think that he really did realize, and you know, Tennessee did have its issues. It had academic issues that a lot of coaches were turned off about. But at the end of the day, when he looked at the players that he had and he looked at the first opportunity that he had, I just don't think that he thought he could leave at that point. Now, you know, if he was offered by, you know, a Florida or a Georgia, would things be different? I don't know, maybe. But I just don't think that the timing was right to leave for Tennessee, to leave for Auburn, which the name was thrown out there, even to leave for Arkansas, a job that I think that he would have gone after because of his ties to Arkansas, like you mentioned earlier. But he told me after, you know, I had to stay for Teddy. He'd taken him so far. He really did change how that guy played football, and he really changed the culture at Louisville. Hadn't been to a bowl game since 2007. First year he gets in there in 2010, they go in, they beat Southern Miss. He wanted to finish a goal, and I think that, you know, the Louisville faithful were a little concerned, a little worried about what was going to happen, and, you know, he made sure that he stayed around. And Adrian Bouchel said it best. He said, you know, he brought us in. He said, I'm not going to leave you guys hanging, and he stuck to his word. Now, how long he stays at Louisville is going to depend on his success. I think that, you know, Louisville is a good job for him right now, but if other schools, if other big schools keep in touch with him, keep looking at what he's doing, it's going to be tough for him to turn down a bigger job because, yeah, they're going to the ACC, but is he going to have a better chance winning a national championship there as opposed to, you know, an SEC school? And, you know, I was joking around with a couple writers, and, you know, we were saying regardless of what happens with Will Muschamp at Florida, and I think he's going to be at Florida for a while, it would not surprise any of us if Charlie Strong were the next head coach, whether it's 5, 10 years down the line at Florida. I think that he is made for the SEC, and he is going to end his career in the SEC, if not the NFL.
There's two schools of thought on that, though. I mean, because you do have certainly a much more respected path if you go through the SEC with no losses or a loss. And, again, all you got to do is get in the top four under the new system going forward, or I guess in a year, another year. But the other thing is, in the ACC, you certainly have a much better chance of going undefeated on a, not a regular basis, but I would think a more common basis. So, I mean, I can see both sides of that. And they aren't a major enough conference now where you do get some national respect. I mean, if Florida State had run the table this year, I have no reason to believe that they wouldn't have been in the national championship game. So, I mean, I'm curious to see what his thoughts are about that going forward. As it is, this is a program now, because we were talking about it before we had you on. If he can stick around the 15, top 15, top 20, you've got one of the best combinations yeah. from a football-basketball standpoint in the country.
Yeah, and I think that one thing about the ACC it does bring in a lot of good athletes, and, you know, Florida State's a great example of that, but there's always that struggle in those, and not necessarily big games, but, you know, the NC State games for Florida State. Miami just can't get over what's happened to it scholarship-wise, and the attitude there is just completely different. I think for Louisville, going into the ACC, that's a big lift for that conference because Charlie Strong is going to recruit South Florida even harder now. He's going to recruit Georgia. He's going to recruit Florida, with Florida, with Florida State, with Miami, with Georgia and Alabama. He is going to go after them now because, you know, this win is a springboard win. Everybody is now going to be talking about Louisville, looking at what he's done, looking at what he's done with players like Adrian Bouchel, turning him into an extremely solid cornerback. Teddy Bridgewater. Big-time recruits are going to start looking at Louisville because now they're going to be in the ACC. They're going to have a better shot at the national championship, like you said. I think it's a major boost for that conference when it comes to football and obviously basketball, man. Yeah. I have Louisville going to the national championship in basketball.
Look out.
I think it's a huge, huge win for that conference.
Edward Ashoff joining us, SEC blogger for ESPN.com. You talked about the Clemson-LSU game and the chance you had to see Taj Boyd in person. Talk about that game, and I guess, look, we've had a couple of surprises now, LSU in that one, and then, of course, even more so last night with Louisville knocking off Florida. But just give me an overview of that Clemson-LSU game and what you didn't see from LSU that you expected to see.
Well, I thought they'd run the ball a lot more. I mean, they totally got away from the running game. Jeremy Hill is going to be one of the best running backs in the SEC next season. He didn't touch the ball in the fourth quarter. His sixth carry of the night was that 57-yard touchdown, and you have to be sitting there thinking, all right, just run the ball. That, and I know you have 60 minutes of football to play, but when they went up 24-13, first of all, they should have been up way more than that. They should have been up 28-13 at that point. Mm-hmm. The game was over. Late in the third quarter, that game was over. All LSU had to do was run the ball, and they're throwing it. That's second and two late. I know a lot of people have said it was wide open. Yeah, it was wide open. But if you run the ball and you still don't get the first down, that's one timeout off the clock. Third down comes around. You run it. Doesn't matter if you get a first down or not. That's two timeouts. Now look at the sequence of events after that. Well, Clemson's out of timeouts with 40-something with 40-something seconds left because Taj Boyd gets sacked. At that was the first timeout that they were able to use because LSU didn't run the ball. And, you know, Les Miles had some very interesting answers about not being able to run that I never really understood, but I don't understand how LSU in two straight bowl games has totally changed their game plan. I know that they felt more comfortable throwing the ball in the month of November, but run to get to the throw, and they just didn't do that. They threw the run, and it really cost them in the second half.
Yeah, this just in, his clock management is somewhat suspect, without a doubt.
Yeah, everyone had a question about it. Now it's confirmed, right?
What kinds of answers did he give you that threw you off?
Luckily, I was not in the press conference for it, but I was talking to Andy Staples from Sports Illustrated, and he just had the same kind of confused look when he was trying to explain something about, well, they put so many guys in so we couldn't run, and then they took so many guys out that we couldn't pass. It was very confusing. It was classic Les Miles.
Back to the game last night, did you get the sense from Florida fans that they were not excited to be there? Did you get the sense from the Florida players that they didn't feel like Louisville would provide much of a challenge for them?
I did, and I think that it was very telling that Florida didn't sell out, didn't come close to selling out their tickets. And if I'm a Florida player, you have to be pretty upset about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a year where they should have won 8 games, and they won 11. They're a Pittsburgh miss away from being in South Beach right now, talking about playing Alabama for the national championship. If they have the selection committee for the playoff, Florida's in the national championship. They have the best resume in college football, and they get no love from their fans. And I understand, you know, it's Wednesday, early January, and maybe that's an issue when it comes to these bowl games. But I mean, come on, that's a BCS bowl game. They hadn't been there since 2009, and I guarantee you, those players were looking up in the stands and thinking, man. Louisville fans came out in full force for this, and they didn't even come close to winning 11 games.
Didn't they play Cincinnati the last time they went to the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, but they sold that out because it was Tebow's last game, and Cincinnati was undefeated, number 3 team in the country. Mm. So, but I think the Charlie Strong factor was a big thing. A lot of Florida fans love Charlie Strong, so maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't really want to go watch Florida beat Charlie Strong, but Bourbon Street was extremely boring. When it came to looking at Florida fans.
It's a phrase I've never heard before.
Just looking at them in general and compared to the Louisville fans, they just did not show up at all. And, it's kind of been that way the whole season for them.
Yeah.
This is a team, their only loss came to Georgia, and they could never fill their entire stadium.
They're spoiled brats.
That's kind of the culture there.
Is it the culture, or is it that they are spoiled?
I think the culture is that they're spoiled, maybe.
I don't get it.
And I mean, when I was there, it was, they were able to sell games out, but after that 08 national championship event, and that 09, I think it was the 09 season where a lot of people just totally decided, if they're not going to a national championship, then it's not worth going to. Because 2010, attendance starts to drop. Obviously, they weren't close to the team that they were. Will Muschamp's first year, it was really bad. And I just think this season was worse because they won 11 games. I understand that they didn't look pretty winning, but who would you rather be right now, 11-2 Florida, or 8-5 Mississippi State?
Yeah,
and I think that they treated this team like it was 8-5 Mississippi State.
It's just we've talked before about how Florida sports fans in general are not very good. I mean, whether it's the Marlins fans or the Braves fans or whatever. I mean, they don't always get out there and support in the way that maybe we think they should. So I'm surprised about the Gator thing, though. I mean, that's the Swamp is generally considered one of the most intimidating places. I mean, are the basketball fans like that? If they're not in the Final Four, they don't care.
Oh, the basketball fans, even if they are in the Final Four, they don't shut. I don't think Florida has really, had a very good crowd for basketball since the 04s were there.
Well, let me say
that was a very long time ago.
I'm going to say to them what I was just saying about tall guys who don't dunk. Quit being disrespectful to the rest of us who don't get to win as much as you do. You better start taking advantage of your opportunities. And any excuse, I don't care if the Florida debate or chess team is going to the national championship. If it's being held in New Orleans, you go. And you scream and yell for your team. That's what it's about. It's New Orleans.
For?
Come on.
What's Florida's Sugar Bowl record that passed and how many times they've played, how much success have they had?
Well, they won in 09, and I think the last time that they were there before that was 99 against Miami, and they got throttled there.
Okay,
but then they won the national championship in 96.
In New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what, 3 times in the last 20 years? You'd think that, you'd be excited about heading, it's not like Arkansas. We've been to Dallas for Cotton Bowl games, Southwest Classic games against Texas A&M, so, we would we still go down there. So you'd think the excitement of being able to go back down to New Orleans for a good time would be there with a lot of Florida fans.
It's not a bad drive, and you know, flights from Florida there are not, you know, very, very expensive.
Yeah.
But you just have to wonder, I mean, was this fan base thinking, well, you know, if they don't go to the national championship now, you know, we're not going to show up. And that's one thing that you have to wonder, because I'm sure they obviously the fans would have been there in Miami for the biggest game of the season, but this is a BCS bowl game for a team that won 7 games last year, and people thought would barely win 8.
Yeah.
So it's when I went to school there, you could start seeing the trickle effect of fans, you know, being very disinterested with everything, and obviously, you know, the cost of travel does really hurt. The cost of, you know, $130 to sit at a football game for 3 hours is pretty expensive considering everything else, but, you know, to not show up and just buy tickets, you know, in and around the stadium, it's just extremely surprising. I mean, there were sections in Florida's area that were totally bare. No one was sitting in them.
That's crazy.
And
well, if anybody should be spoiled, it should be Alabama fans, but I will expect that they will be out in full force on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
For the championship game.
I think that any other team in the SEC that went to the Sugar Bowl this year would have sold out that place. Even Georgia is upset as they were about, you know, not going to the national championship.
So Alabama's around a 10-point favorite. Last night, Florida lost as a 14-point favorite. Which would shock you more, Notre Dame knocking off Alabama or what happened last night?
What happened last night? Just because Notre Dame has an extremely good defense, and, you know, Alabama, I think Alabama's defense, for a certain extent, is a little overrated. They have talent there, but the secondary has its issues. The thing about Alabama's defense, though, is it responds so well after big plays, and they don't give up back-to-back big plays. I think that that's something that you know, is pretty impressive. But, you know, Notre Dame beating Alabama isn't going to surprise me as much as what happened last night. If Florida had lost to Louisville but was competitive, then you say, okay, you know, that's a really good game. But Florida never stepped into the building. I mean, they once they threw that interception, it was over. And so the 10-point score, it pretty much looked like a 20-point loss for Florida. So mm-hmm. I think that was way more surprising than Notre Dame beating Alabama.
Randy Shannon hired as the linebackers coach at Arkansas. I think it's safe to say he has the best resume of any linebackers coach in America. what do you think of the job Bielema's done building his staff? And of course, I guess he's got one spot left. But the Randy Shannon hire certainly was a big news around here, at least.
Yeah, and I think that that's one that's really going to help him on the recruiting front as well. And he's going to be able to get, you know, right in the thick of the Southeast, especially Florida, especially South Florida. And he's always been a tremendous recruiter, so I think that that's big for Arkansas. You know, I've said I like the Jim Chaney hire. I think that that helps you because, you know, Bielema wants to run. Make no mistake about it. He wants to run, which is good for the SEC. But you have to have some balance, and I think Chaney wants to throw. So it's two opposites going at it. It's perfect balance there, or so they hope. And then I really like Zach Cazzani. I thought that was a really good hire for wide receivers. I mean, you look at Florida, okay, it wasn't great while he was there, but, you know, he's a sharp guy. He's a really smart offensive mind, and I think that he's going to do really well with Arkansas's receivers. So, I think he's done a really, really good job, and to get those guys from the Southeast is going to be big. I mean, they all have experience recruiting in that part of the country, so I think that outside of just X's and O's, those are two big points when it came to hiring those guys.
Edward, we appreciate you coming on today. We were up against it, but I do want to ask real quick, just give me quick answers on who you like tonight and who you like in the championship game.
I'm going to take Oregon, and I'm going to take Alabama.
How much does Alabama win? By the cover?
I think so.
Okay.
I think what you saw last night will be a similar to what you see Monday, but I do think Notre Dame's going to put up a fight.
Okay. All right. Man, we appreciate you very much. Happy New Year to you, and enjoy the rest of your day in New Orleans.
Will do.
All right, man.
Get some sleep. Get some sleep, bro.
I wish.
You can sleep on the plane. Sleep on the plane. See you, buddy. Edward Ashoff, ESPN.
He's not kidding us. We've been to New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl. Come on. Yeah, he was up late doing work on the internet. Sure.
You've been up till 5 in New Orleans before, I'm sure, many times.
I was not on the internet, I can guarantee you that. Like,
okay, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I only have one question. Is there a place that sells oysters still open?
We're going. Speaking of going, I got good news. Landers Ford. It's 2013. We've been talking about it. That Ford Escape, all new body style. That's right, buddy. It's here. 31 miles per gallon. Save money, save time. 2013 is brand new. Everything's new. How about your all-new body style? That's right. Turn over that new leaf. Exit 121 out there, I-30 in Benton. It's the official truck of the Razorbacks, by the way, Ford. You can go see Kelly, Mike, Randy. They're down there. Number one certified pre-owned in the state. That is Landers Ford in Benton. Give them a call, 501-315-4700. Huge selections for you. That is Landers Ford in Benton.